We're going to get right into the Word while you're standing with me. Open your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. Amen. I feel like preaching this. And we just finished a whole series, thanks Gary, on the Beatitudes. And I was done with the Beatitudes, but how many know that's just the beginning to the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus' most famous sermon. There's never been more quotes than the Sermon on the Mount. And so I got some things on the end times and some other things I'm going to be bringing in the weeks to come. But this is just on my heart to finish this message. And before we do, yes, we do need to pray again also for some family members, our church family. We had three losses, three deaths in our church family and this past week, a funeral Friday morning, and we have a funeral, two of them again tomorrow. And so we want to remember the Buchanan family. This is Steve Buchanan's grandmother, Stevie B's grandmother, Jerry Buchanan. She was the neighborhood grandma in Ecorse. When she passed away Saturday last week, she was 95 years old. And she lived in that same house in Ecorse. Just the sweetest mother, sweetest grandmother in there. And she's with the Lord now. She knows Jesus. She was a faithful attender of my uncle's church, Jerry Buchanan. We knew her. And we're going to pray for her as Stevie's grandma. Also, Catherine Walker. This is a product of our live stream media. And I want to tell our camera team, our live stream media, there was a couple that gave their hearts to Jesus 4 years ago, David and Catherine. David passed away, and Catherine just passed away last week. Both of them have been dealing with problems in their health. And they came here 4 years ago. The whole family brought them. They got water baptized. And she's been a faithful viewer. She's a shut-in. She couldn't leave her house. I just spoke to her on her phone about a month ago. Loving God, loving Jesus. And this was kind of out of nowhere. We didn't expect her to go. She had a stroke, and she passed. And the funeral was yesterday, Catherine Walker. But it was through our live stream media that she's able to receive the word of the Lord. And then Kevin McCaskey's father, stepdad, just passed away. Kevin's right there. And his stepdad just passed away and was in hospice care for a while. Him and Jessica ministering to him and believing he's in the presence of the Lord today. But these are losses for our family. I mean, the Bible says to mourn with those who are mourning and grieve with those that are grieving. So will you just help me pray for these families today? So, Father, we just lift up these families, God, the Buchanan family, so many of them. Lord, so many of them were in church at one time and walking with you. I don't know where they all are now, but God, I pray something good would come out of this. Jerry was a woman that was faithful and loved you, was a very sweet and kind woman, and I just pray that you be with Pastor Steve tomorrow as he does that funeral. Lord, anoint him to preach the gospel in that place, and let us see something great come out of that, Lord. We pray, and we pray for the Walker family, God, that you would just continue to move in that family with the grandsons. They're such an awesome family there, God, and I just pray that you would continue to work in their lives as well, Father, and bring something good. And we remember Kevin and his family, God, and this loss, God, that they're dealing with. We pray also, God, that something good would come out of this, Lord. You bring healing and strength, God, there to Kevin and Jessica and the whole family, the whole McCaskey family, Lord, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope and the promise that we have of seeing our loved ones again that are in you. And Father, we turn our attention to your word now. We pray, God, we have praised you, worshiped you, prayed and shouted, sang, and now, Lord, we're here to receive your word. Anoint me to preach this, I pray. Anoint us to receive what you said, Jesus. Give me the heart, Jesus, that you had when you preached this on that side of that mountain there, at the Sea of Galilee, that we would receive this message today, that we are salt and we are light. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing with me. Matthew chapter 5. He finishes the Beatitudes. Now he's going to go into how to live it out. Verse 13. But you are, everybody say, that's me. Tell the person next to you, that's you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned again? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are, everybody say, that's me. Tell the person next to you, that's you. You are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and give it so it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're in the community, when you're at the ball game, when you're on the golf course, and you are having a terrible game. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, give a couple people a high five, handshake, a hug, and you can be seated today in the house of God. Amen. The Beatitudes was a great message in the sermon series that Jesus has taught us. Eight ways to live, eight ways to be happy. It's good to see Dr. Kavar and Crystal with us here today. Mama on the front row. Daddy's at home not feeling well, and so we keep him in prayers. But this message here now is turning the corner. So now that we learned how to be like Christ in our attitude and character, this is very important to not just move on to another sermon. He says now it's about living it out. Now go and do what you learned. You see, and you got to, in Christianity, true Christianity, it's about being first and then doing. Religion is about doing, and they really don't even focus on being. Do good works, give to churches, do a charity, give your clothes to the charity thing, or volunteer somewhere, but live your life really any way you want to live. That's religion. So Jesus comes on the scene and says, you got it all wrong. It needs to be first, be with me. And there's a great book out that I recommend to all kind of people in the township reading, and it's called Practicing the Way. Write it down if you need a good book that's practical, that breaks down what a disciple is all about. Practicing the Way, it's by Comer, C-O-M-E-R. And it talks about seeing Jesus, being with Jesus, and then doing what Jesus did. That's the goal of a disciple. And so here Jesus is saying, I want you to have the character and the attitude, be merciful, be hungering and thirsting for God, you know, do that. But then now I need you to roll up the sleeves. I need you to go and be light in this world. What is he saying here? He's telling us to continue to live out your faith publicly. And here it is, engage with culture. Engage with culture. Don't run from it. Don't have a holy huddle. And just me and my four and no more, and we're in the house until Jesus comes, Betty. Hallelujah. I don't know who Betty is, but amen. That's the mindset of many Christians. We're just going to retreat. No, no, no. We're called, Jesus said, to not retreat. We are armed soldiers. But to go into the highways and byways, engage in culture, and then he uses salt and light to preserve secular culture, to preserve culture from decay. And we need to do that. This is purpose. Everybody say purpose. If you're taking notes, you need to write down purpose. Taking notes is awesome. I shared this Wednesday night. Let me just tell you a story of my grandson. He's 3 and a half. He went and got his mama the other day, Miranda, who was doing the missions. It's my daughter. And my grandbaby was like, Mom, come here. Come here. So Miranda goes in there. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. His hair is like this. And he has a little underwear on. And he sits down. I got to get the picture. He sits down, and he's got a notebook, and he says, Mommy, preach like Poppy and Aunt Fluffy. So Aunt Fluffy is Felicia. She's one of the River Kids directors, and they teach right now, our kids, 13. So he wanted Miranda to preach like his aunt and like his Poppy. And so she began to preach. He's acting like he's taking notes. And as soon as she starts, he goes, okay, that's enough, and slides it over. I said, he loves short sermons. Amen. This may not be that short of a sermon. Hallelujah. But you need to take notes. This is huge right here. You ready? Matthew 5. In the Message Bible, what we just read, this is how he brings it out. It's translated. Jesus said, let me tell you why you are here. Look at this. What a purpose. You want to know why you're on planet Earth? You want to know why you were born? You want to know why you were born wherever you were and you ended up here in Michigan? You want to know why you're watching on live stream from wherever you are? I saw a family, Rex and Connie Johnson from Tennessee, and they love this church. They're also a part of the ministry. And why are they here? Why are we here? That's the great question of the day. He said, this is what Jesus is teaching. This is why you are here. You're here not to just get married, have a job, have kids. That's all great. That's part of our expectation that God told us to do. But our main priority is to be salt of the earth and light of the world. I want you also to notice he says salt of the earth and light of the world. In other words, we are called to have global influence. Not just salt in River of Life and in church. No, we are called to have global influence in the earth today. Let me say it like this. We're called to take over this thing. We are. Could you imagine? See, the Bible teaches that there is a force of evil. It's called the devil. He's the God, lowercase G-O-D, in Ephesians 2. He's the God of this world who has blinded the hearts of the unbelievers. So this is, people are in darkness right now. But guess what? We're called to be salt and light to walk and rescue them. Watch this. And bring God's kingdom. I'm a kingdom preacher. This is a kingdom church. This is a kingdom set of values and morals. This is not about politics. This is not about organizations and all that stuff. They have a place. But our values are vote according to your values. Work your job and treat your clients as a Christian, because that's now your new identity. You're not, when you become a Christian and you drive a truck for a living, you're not just a truck driver. Watch this. You're a Christian truck driver. You're not a parent just raising kids. I'm going to say just raising kids. That's the most important job in the world. But you're a Christian parent that's going to take them to soccer, but also take them to Royal Rangers. Take them to girls' ministry. Watch this. And live the life in front of them the best you can. Why? Because that's your purpose. That's why you're here. That's why your kids were given to you by Almighty God. You say, well, Pastor Eddie, I've blown it. I've done raised my kids. Well, God has given you grandkids. Hallelujah. And never give up on those kids. Amen. I came to the Lord at 25 years old. It took me a minute. How many hard-headed people we got up in here? Amen. 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 So, this is now your new identity. This is now who you're called to be. Your purpose is this. Jesus was teaching us, where does our life fit into this big picture? We are called to be global influence. By the way, if we got people saved, there would be no more school shootings. Christians don't shoot people. We shoot deer. It's deer season. Amen. We don't shoot people when you disagree with us. If we would just get people saved, sex trafficking would cease. Pornography would, it'd be end of it. Opioids and addiction that we've lost so many best friends of mine that have passed away from it, and you and your addiction would be gone. We would solve world hunger like that. See, that's why policies are great, but it's just a piece of paper. The Spirit of the living God is what transforms a heart. It causes people not want to do those things again. That's why we're needed. That's why Jesus is saying, here, you're called to go. Now, why did he use salt and light? He could have picked anything. I didn't have time to read this earlier, but I'll read it to you. I'm running out of time already, so I'll go fast. He could have used all kinds of substances. He could have said, you guys are like whatever. So I looked up what are some of the most common foods associated with their spouses. So they asked spouses, if you could describe your spouse with a food item, what would it be? Number one, chili pepper. your spouse is passionate and fiery. How many are married to some chili peppers up in here? Two of you, three of you, four, okay. One said pasta was a popular one, meaning my spouse is messy all over the place. They are messy everywhere. Okay. My spouse is a hot pocket. Cold on the outside, but warm on the inside, and in cold spots, in hot spots, all together. You don't know which one you're going to get. It's cold to the touch, but then it burns your mouth. Okay. Kale chips was another one. My spouse was crispy, but good for me. I guess the other one would be a Twinkie. Tastes good, but bad for you. I don't know. I don't know, but... Marshmallow, soft, sweet, and comfortable. And the rest of them are inappropriate to read in church. Amen. Got your attention. Here's the point. Jesus picked out of all these foods, he picked salt and light. There's a purpose. Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, everything, every place he went, there was a lesson to be learned. Isn't it amazing that we are 2,000 years past this man who only lived on earth for 3 years, or had a ministry for 3 years? And there are books written, series, messages being preached. The greatest, largest religion on planet Earth is Christianity, all because of a man that publicly had a ministry for only 3.5 years. Why? Because he was more than a man. He was a son of the living God. And there is so much wealth and insight when you begin to unpack everything he did. So let me just give you a couple things about salt, a couple things about light, and then we're going to go and change our world. Am I at the right church? Did I pull in the right church? First thing I want you to write, and then we're going to go back to Jesus' day. We're not going to look at it through a... And here's our problem. We read the Bible with a 21st century lens. We read the Bible with our experience lens. We read the Bible on our past history of church or whatever, and that is the wrong way to read the Scripture. We don't let the Scripture fit our ideas. Our ideas are to fit into with the Scripture. Amen? And so when you read the Scripture, you got to put yourself in that place of what Jesus was talking about. Here he is 2,000 years ago. I've been to Israel. I've taught these Beatitudes, read them anyway, at the very site. They have it over there where Jesus taught this on the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful mountain. So he picks salt. First thing I want you to know is because in those days, salt was valuable. Catch this. It was one of the most valuable items in the ancient world was salt. Salt? Are you kidding me? We use it for all kinds of different things. We throw it on the ground to melt ice. We cook. And then, you know, if you watch Rachel Way, she throws it over her shoulder, you know, whatever that means. We use it, we throw it away. But salt was a very expensive and valuable commodity. The Romans' soldiers would be paid according to salt. A salt was a part of their salary. In fact, the word salary that we make is derived from the Latin word salt. It was very expensive. So when he said salt, it was like saying T-bone steak or ribeye steak. And so if you spilled salt, if you're a spiller, I was a spiller, my mama can tell you that. My brothers could go eat in front of the TV. I would go, "Where are you going, Eddie?" I had to go, but I had to put a towel down. And I would try so hard not to spill. I would sit in the kitchen and drink my milk all the way down because my peanut butter and jelly, come on, peanut butter and jelly people. And I'd go out there and I'd sit down and I'd all the way to the end and Dukes of Hazzard or something would be on. I'd go, and there it went, I got spilled. You was forbidden to eat in here. But if you spilled salt, listen to me, if you spilled salt, it was extremely shameful. It was a waste. So much so that you've probably all seen this very famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci. And I want you to see it on the screen. This is the Lord's Supper. You've probably seen it, know about it. Leonardo da Vinci painted that painting, but he also hid messages within that painting that had relevance of the day. And I want you to notice that the guy on the left, a couple is Judas, and he's spilling the salt. Judas was known for spilling the salt because, watch this, he failed to see the value in Christ. And when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, you are valuable," and when he says this, don't lose your saltiness. Because if you lose your saltiness, you're not going to be really good for nothing. He's saying Judas was one who lost the value of Jesus. He lost the value of the Son of God. He hung out with them for 3 years, watched his ministry, and saw him raise people from the dead, saw him walk on the water. But to him, it was just like, why? Because we grow too familiar with things, we start to lose its value. You get too familiar with your spouse, you'll lose the value of marriage. You get bored with your spouse. You start losing the value of a lifelong oath that you took before God to take care of her and to love her and protect her. But now you've been married 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 years. And sometimes it loses that value and appreciation. And then you see something new that catches your eye. They call it eye candy. And next thing you know, your value is now over here. Why? When you've got 20 times better at home than what you see here, because candy is just what you see up front, right? We lose the value of what it is, and so many of us in church world can lose the value of our faith because it's become so familiar. You've heard the Beatitudes, you've heard the Bible stories, you've read them in your devotional, and it gets too watered down, and we lose the value of who it is that we are being called to serve for life. Get too familiar. Sometimes people mistake the fact that because you're familiar with something, you are knowing and obeying it. That's another thing. We get familiar with Jesus. Being familiar with Jesus don't mean you're serving Jesus with your as the Lord of your and Savior. Now let's flip it around to what Jesus was saying to the audience. He was calling them salt. Here's what you need to know, that God considers you valuable. Yeah, receive that. Receive that now. Receive that now. He says, you are the salt of the earth. And when they heard him say that, they were like, whoa, I'm like a bar of gold. Like, I'm valuable in your eyes. You had single moms who had wasted and time. You had like the woman at the well who had five failed marriages and was living with number six. And then she didn't want to be around the religious people at all. And we all know the story. If you come here, you do, because I preach it every Sunday. And Jesus makes a whole special trip to come all the way out of his way to meet with this woman who we don't even have her name. Why? Because she was valuable in the eyes of our God. That's your Jesus. That's our Jesus. He valued people. He valued the woman that was caught in adultery. He didn't condone her behavior, but he valued her enough to get down in the dirt and move her hair out of her eyes and look at her and love on her and raise her back up out of the dirt. Isn't that what Jesus does? Religion is like, man, you done blown. You got caught in the act. You blew it. You're not good enough. We need to stone you. But yet Jesus looked and he seen the value in people. Church, God has called us to see the value in people. That's what he's saying. And it starts with you seeing and knowing you are valued by God. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. What did he say the second one was? To love yourself as your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor or even God if you're not loving yourself. Not in a narcissistic way, but in a way that you know and recognize you are valuable in the eyes of God. Jesus said that there's not a sparrow of a bird. That's the most common bird, and it was the most least expensive bird to purchase for sacrifices when they had animal sacrifices. It was the cheap, and poor people would buy the sparrows or pigeons. And Jesus said, when one of those falls to the ground and dies, your heavenly Father knows about it. How much more does he care for you? Valuable. We're called to see the value in people. We've lost the value of human life in our country, people. We are losing the ability to value people. We don't even have conversations with people no more. We just delete them. Now we're shooting people if you disagree with us. Shooting people that we hate, killing people, like they're video games, like there's another life going to pop up in the second floor or whatever. And what's happening? We have devalued life in this country is what's happening. We don't look at people as salt. We don't look at people as valuable. soldiers were called to be gritty. Here's another thing that's not in your notes. Salt heals. So we don't need to be brash with the truth. We need to preach it in love. That's like I preached a couple of weeks ago, right? Jesus did that. He sat down with people at the table who disagreed with him. They had nothing in common. Instead of shouting at each other, Jesus wanted to hear their side of it. And there are times, like I told you a couple weeks ago, they're going to disagree when you're a peacemaker, and you're not going to be able to reconcile. You don't hate them and shoot them. You'd be like, okay, I pray that your eyes are open, because if they don't turn and give their life to Jesus, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. That's the sobering reality of this thing. It's not about stained glass windows and candles and long robes and King James Version Bibles. There are souls on the stake for eternity. That's why I don't play up in here. We are serious about souls, because that's something we got to preserve. We got to preserve biblical truth when it comes to family. We got to preserve biblical truth in marriage and gender. But at the same time, if there's somebody confused with their sexuality, confused with their gender, we don't shoot them. We say, hey, let's sit down and have a conversation. Do you know what the maker who designed you thinks about your sexuality? And you'll find out a lot of people that never had nobody talk. I met this atheist, and I was talking to him, and he told me, well, I disagree with everything you just said, because I shared him this little story. And he was like, I'm an atheist. You know what I said? I said, oh, cool. He went, I've never heard someone ever say it was cool to meet me. Usually you're kind. You're kind. See how people see you? They see you as opponents. He said, I've never had nobody that of your kind say that it was cool to talk to me. I was like, no, man. In my mind, I'm thinking, I've always wanted to meet a fool. But I didn't say it. Because the Bible says only a fool says there is no God, right? And amen. But my goal wasn't to win a debate, church. My goal was to persuade a soul that was going to spend an eternity in hell that he is lost and he needs to rethink this God thing. You see, it turns you and I when we realize this. Passionate about this, man. Because so many Christians don't know their purpose. And when you don't know your purpose, abuse is inevitable. You'll end up hurting yourself, missing your purpose in life. You go up in River Kids, and you'll find kids playing with cars, and they're just sticking them in their mouth. If my granddaughter's there, she's probably hitting yours in the head. Pray for Carolina Grace. I'm sorry. She's a year and a half, and she's already been suspended from River Kids. I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know where she gets that feistiness from. But when kids don't know that a car is meant to be played like this, right, they're going to shove it in your ear. And it's cute when it's a kid because they don't know the purpose of a toy. It's cute, but when you're 25 years old, shoving things in your arm, shoving things down your throat, getting in relationships that are going to hurt you, it's not funny. It's dangerous. Why? You don't realize your purpose. Your purpose is a child of God, a man made in the image of God to lead and protect your family. You're a woman. You're a nurturer. You bring life into this planet, and you are the daughter of the Most High God. You got a purpose for being here today. Come on, if you believe that, give him some praise in the house today. Thank you, Jesus. I get excited because the devil lies. He's a liar, and he's lying on TikTok. He's lying on YouTube. He's lying from pulpits in America. Getting people so confused. They don't even know what we're supposed to do. I'm like, come on. Get in there. Get in the Word. Salt preserves. It preserves biblical truth. Listen, I believe that Jesus died on a cross and was buried and rose again on the third day. I believe that he was seen by over 500 people for 40 days. I believe he ascended to the right hand of the Father and he sent back the Holy Spirit. I still believe he's going to come and part those skies open and get his church. I still believe there's a heaven, there's a hell. I still believe there's a judgment. I still believe that God is the King of the universe. I still believe there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. I I still believe it. I'm going to preserve it in this pulpit and in my community. There's only one way to the Father. Come on, give me praise if you believe that today. I believe that. I preserve that. I'm going to hand that down to my kids. I'm going to hand that down to my grandkids. I'm going to preach it, but I'm going to live it. Living a message is louder than any preacher can preach. I'm screaming and yelling because I get excited. That's just how I am. I'm a spiller and a shouter, Mama said. I'm going to be shouting today when the Lions clean up Cincinnati so I can. So I love our church. But I'm going to shout louder for the King of Kings. So don't get it twisted. I'm closing. Pretty soon. Here's the scripture that you got to preserve. I put it on the screen for those that may be new. And we got a lot of people that's coming to churches today that are new. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I've met some new people in the 9 a.m. service. Thank you for being here. John 14, this is not just me yelling up here. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. You know what he did? He shut the door to Islam. He slammed the door to Buddhism. He slammed the door to higher power and crystals. He slammed the door from religious self-righteousness. He closed the door on all of those other ways that lead to God when he made this statement. And he said, don't get it twisted. Only I am the way that you get to the Father. Why? Why is that? Why is that? He's not being exclusive. Hear me. He's being specific. Because Jesus was the only person in history to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. And he's the only one that rose again on the third day to say, hiya, light me now. That's why you put your faith in him. And I know it sounds brash and it even offends you. You know what? You know who it offends? It offends the devil. When I preach like this, it offends the little demons in us, the little devils that's been lying to us. When I stir the pot like that, it gets him mad. But I say, come on, come with it, devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's time for the church to start being salt and light. And quit being this watered down seasoning or this dim light. Speaking of light, when Jesus said light, this is what I want you to know. When he said light 2,000 years ago, he didn't mean like flashlight. Electricity wasn't invented. So it's important to know this. When Jesus said light, his audience saw fire. Jesus said, I came to set the earth. In Luke 9, he said, I came to set the earth on fire. To set a fire in the earth. And he says, how I wish it was already kindled. Why did he say that? Because the hardest thing about a fire is starting a fire. The hardest thing about a pastor is getting people to move from church attendance to church workers and bearing fruit in their life. I'll be honest with you. It's exhausting. Some of you can preach this message better than I can today. But let me ask you something. When's the last time you read your word? When's the last time you witnessed? When's the last time you've been salt and you've been light? When's the last time you stood up for biblical truth? When's the last time you lived this life and maybe you sinned, but you got clean, you stood back up and went after God? I know many of you are. Many of you are. I love the fruit that I'm seeing. God bless you. But it's time for us to say, hey, those nominal Christianity has got to go away. God's looking and calling us. We value our faith to the point where we need to get on fire for him. What does fire do? Fire lights the way in Jesus' day. You'd be walking down the path and you would see the torches and you would say, oh, that's the way to go. Christians, we're to live the life that's like this. Hey, you follow me. I'll show you how to get free from drugs and alcohol and live happily for 28 years. Come on, follow me. I'll show you. If I want to learn how to get turned up, I can watch YouTube. But I'm going to show you how to live sober and love it and have purpose in your life. Come on, follow me. I'm a light. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how to have a marriage where you're married to the same woman and loving it for 33 years. Come here. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm going to fall, but I want to show you how I get back up when I blow it and say, come, follow me. Follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. You're light. People ought to follow you. People ought to look at you and be like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I love what Brother Kavar said last week, man. If the church got five more of you, would the church be better or worse? That got me. I've always said, if everyone in the church served God like you would, what would the body of Christ look like? But that was better. I'm going to steal it. Like I always say, if the church got five more of you, wasn't that good? Amen. What would it do? Help me to get fire. Fire protects. Write this down. Fire protects. It was a safe thing. When you were walking in the wilderness and you saw a bonfire over there, you would say, come on, there's safety over there. There's safety. We got to get over there by that fire and be safe. There's a saying in South Africa, and I love it. When we were talking about this over a bonfire, it was even scarier, but listen to this. When the fire goes out, the lions move in. Selah. When the fire goes out, the lions move in. Now, when we were talking to Benghazi and Bush Baby was his name, bless his heart. He was a man that never seen the city. He lived in the bush until he was 20 years old. He would tell these stories. But I said, there's such a spiritual application to what he is saying. And it's found in 1 Peter. Put that on the screen if you got it. Please, be sober. Be sober. Can I preach 20 minutes on be sober? Be sober. Pastor, is it okay to get a little? Be sober. Is it okay to get just, if you're going to get a little of that, then I'm going to get a little of this. Are we all going to be a little bit buzzing and drunk and messed up? No. Jesus says, I want you to be sober. Because when we're not sober-minded, we say things we don't mean. We open ourselves up to evil. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you how people get demon-possessed? If I had 20 minutes, I'd show you. Satan worshipers tell their young people to get power of evil. They need to go and get as drunk as they can, as often as they can, sleep around as much as they can, and be as rebellious as they can with any authority. That's what they encourage them to do. Why? Because it's like a lightning rod to the enemy. We got Christians dabbling in that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, man, it's a trick of the enemy. Look what the scripture says. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because you got an adversary. You got an adversary, and it's the devil. It's not a little dude with a red suit and a pitchfork in about a week you're going to see. That ain't the devil. He's the source of evil. Jesus summed it up like this. He come to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's not what Jesus described the devil. Peter says, be sober, because the devil, look, goes around seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Look at there. And I love how he says resist him. He don't say, get on in a helicopter and fly over the city and pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, that would be a great idea. But you know how, thank you. You know how to overcome the devil? Resist him and stand firm in the faith. Break that down. Resist him by standing firm in the faith. You know why? Because when a fire is weak, it begins to flicker. When a flame is weak, it just flickers. And that lion is just going to sit there and go, well, it's about to go out. And then it's feast time. In fact, the lion might go, but this scripture, and Jesus is calling us to be firm in the faith. Let that fire burn hot. That fire will burn hotter the more committed and loyal and all in you get with Jesus. That's how, so when temptation comes, you stand firm. You don't go, yeah, I guess I will. No, you're flickering. You want to overcome the enemy, and what we're called to do as Christians is to stand firm. Everybody say stand firm. Stand firm when temptation comes. You're going to stand firm. My body's telling me, yeah, come on. But my spirit's telling me no. Come on, somebody. I'm going to stand firm. You're getting tempted to go in there. You want to just smack somebody. I can't believe they said it on Facebook. I'm going to let them know what I, no, I'm standing firm. I'm not going to get into the flesh. I'm not going to indulge in the flesh. I'm going to stand firm. And when you stand firm, that's how that fire gets hot. Ephesians says it like this. Stand firm and suit up with the whole armor of God. Suit up with the whole armor of God. You got a lot of Christians running around here naked. I got your attention now. Spiritually. Another cute story. And then I'm closing for real. My grandson. He and during summer life group, Lindsay and Felicia had a life group for kids, which they were phenomenal. Don't you love our River Kids directors? I mean, they put work in. All of our volunteers that teach and sacrifice and work, you guys are killing it, man. I thank you. My grandkids are in there. and they're praying over their food. They're learning Jesus. We talk to them about what they learned. So they taught them. They taught them the armor of God. And so on Wednesday night, Elias James came in and he goes, look, Poppy, and he had a cardboard breastplate. It was a breastplate of righteousness. I was like, oh, that's so cute. And he goes, no, look here, Poppy. And he had a belt, a cardboard belt. That's the belt of truth. I said, oh, that's so cute. The next morning, he gets up, and Miranda sends us this picture, and I got more pictures of my naked kids, my grandkids, than you think. He's playing with all of his toys, butt naked. He's 3 years old, okay, with just a belt of truth on. Come on, somebody. It's cute when you're three. But when you're 33 and you're serving God and coming to church and all you got is truth, I'm going to give them the truth. Go out there with your naked self, naked and afraid, 2.0. The devil's going to laugh at you. You ain't got no protection. You ain't got no shield of faith. You don't even know the story. You're going to cut yourself. I'm going to end the analogy right there. Come on, let's stand to our feet because I got one last thing to say before we pray. Fire. Listen, fire spreads. And this is what you're called to do when you get up out of this church. You're called to go and spread this fire. You start by spreading it with your kids. Talk to them about the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 says, when they wake up in the morning, talk about Jesus. When you sit around the dinner table, tell them about Jesus. When you go to the soccer game and you're walking down the road, tell about Jesus. Why did he say that? Because he knew he's going to live in a day where we're going to be inundated with information that's so false and twisted. It's 24/7. We are the ones that call to be salt and light. And it starts with our families, but it doesn't end there. It's to this whole community. It's to the earth. We started this year with the theme, go and tell. And I love the fruit of this year. People winning souls for the first time. There's family. I met him back there. They're here today. And he said, Pastor, I got my whole family fills up these two rows. I think that's the rows right back there. And I love it. Amen. He said, well, you told me to go tell my family, and I'm getting them here. And they're all here. They're all loving Jesus. Look at all those families. How many is one family back there? Will you lift your hand up if you're part of that family? Amen. Look at that. God bless you. And many others of you are bringing people and friends and families. That's what we're called. We're doing it, church. So be encouraged. You be encouraged. You're doing it. I know you feel like you're never good enough. I know sometimes the devil tries to condemn us. But hear my heart in this message today. See the value in your faith. See that you're valuable to God. He's called you into this thing. You're called to preserve the truths of the Bible, and you're going to make people mad. It's okay. They crucified our Lord. And then be on fire for Jesus. Don't be a pew warmer. A person that just comes to church, you're not going to get that kind of preaching here anyway, so we're going to challenge you and encourage you because I got to get challenged. If I went to a dead church that just did this and went home, I would still be on drugs and e-course. I'm going to be real with you. I needed a pastor to get in my face and tell me that's going to send you to hell, boy. You need to get rid of that flesh. That flesh is going to ruin your marriage. It's going to devastate your family. And you got a calling on your life. I've had police officers tell me this. Out in the street, gangbanging, had my rag, all that. I've had cops pull us to the side. Remember all the time? And say, boy, God's got a calling on your life. What are you doing out here? We need that sometimes to get in our face and say, hey, God's called you to a higher standard. Thank God I listened. You listen. Now we're called to be salt and we're called to be light. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Altar workers, will you find your way here to the front as we sing one more song? I'm going to pray. This is what we're going to do. We always offer prayer at this church. Some of you have a doctor's appointment you're going to go to this week. Some of you are battling things. That little exhortation earlier about the valley of dry bones, that's you. You might need some help with some prayer today. I'm going to open these altars, and I'm going to invite you to come forward, and we're going to pray as we sing one last song. and then I'm going to dismiss you. If you're here, keep coming up. Come on up. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, talking about salt and all this, and you're getting it, but you've never really said yes to Jesus. You know what? Come on up. I would love to pray with you. I met a young lady today that just gave her heart to Jesus. Earlier this year, she's coming to church and loving Jesus. And so if you're here and you need to accept Christ, man, come on up. Let us pray for you. Amen.
Hey, guys, I'm Pastor Eddie, and just want to say thank you for watching the service. Hopefully it ministered to you. I love God's Word. God's Word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I am a Word person. I love to preach the Word. I love to teach the Word. And I love when the Word of God touches our hearts and does something great in our life. And so if this has happened to you, I'd love to hear from you. Will you just take a minute and shoot us an email, contact our church, and let us know what God is doing. It would minister to us and bless us. But I want to say just thank you for taking the time to watch these services. Share it with somebody that you may know that needs to hear this word that you just heard. And also like and subscribe to our channel. You know, that always helps. That way you never miss an episode or something that we got planned on an off night or off day. You'll get a notification. It also helps us generate more traffic. And so more people, this message will come up in their feed and they can hear this word as well. And also, if you're ever in the area, if you're ever in Southeast Michigan, you got to come visit us in person. And I hear it all the time when people do come and they say, hey, I've been watching you online and it's ministered to me. And this is my first time here. I love to meet people. And they also say how big of a difference it is when you're in person. But we know the presence of God is there when you watch and you are engaged in the services just as much as you're here. But if you're in the area, you come check us out. We're at 16650 Sumter Road in Belleville, Michigan. All right. So thank you again for your time and God bless you.